do we have anything to start with? That's what you're asking me?
Well, we ask that every week.
Yeah, but
that's the first thing
believe,
we say.
I can't believe it's up in the air for you mentally.
I just haven't, you know, it's, I've been up an hour and 15 minutes. My coffee hasn't kicked in yet.
So, a few months back, Thomas and Maddie got a dog.
Oh, and we're going here. all right.
How long did you guys have that dog?
17 hours. It was evil. My wife is allergic. We didn't know until she had it. We were just trying to rescue a dog. We were doing the right thing.
And then a couple months later, our dear listeners will remember that a cat showed up on their front porch. And they named it Turkey. And they were excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
He's a sweet boy.
With,
except.
Within hours, he attacked Maddie. Yeah. He became dead to them. But he also would not leave the porch.
Yeah, he owns our house.
He set up a siege. And then he was gone. Turkey was gone. And so how long did that pet last?
I would say an hour.
So we've gone from 17 hours to 1 hour. And then a mere 5 days ago, why don't you tell it?
We were given a cat. We decided that we wanted a cat. We were given a cat that was raised in the wild. We picked it up, brought it home. You know, it was being really sweet in the car, just sitting peacefully in Maddie's lap, wrapped up in a blanket. We stopped to get it.
Just the stuff dreams are made of.
Yeah, it's exactly what you want from a cat. And we got home, and it attacked Maddie.
I'm sorry.
It's so bad. It was so sad. It attacked Maddie. It got free and ran off, and it was gone. It's so sad. So I spent, we both spent the night with flashlights. I mean, this was at 9:30 at night. It just took off before anything could happen. Spent the night with flashlights looking around for it. It just didn't happen. At one point I saw it and I couldn't get to it in time. And we don't know our neighbors that well. So it was one of those things where it's like, do you think I'm just a creepy dude? I lost my cat. I'm looking for my cat. And at one point though, I shined the light like probably like 50 yards off in this person's backyard in the woods. Mm-hmm. And these two eyes popped up at
yeah.
me. And I started calling for the cat.
Which is, the cat's name was?
Thursday. It was a really good name. I love that name. We shined the light in the woods, and I saw this thing start bounding towards me, and I was like, oh my gosh, Thursday is returning after attacking and fleeing.
Yeah.
And it just kept getting closer and closer and meowing.
Yeah.
And then when it was at my feet, I realized it was Turkey. We hadn't seen him in 2 weeks.
He's back. Turkey had probably just gotten through eating Thursday. It was just coming back to take back over your house.
Sheesh. I think Thursday was picked up by somebody and rescued.
Here's what I need to know, dear listeners. Are you in the camp of, like, Thomas and Maddie, like, keep trying, guys. Keep going with pets. Like, give it. You can do it. Like, go for it. Or are you firmly in the camp of, guys, stop. The universe is against this decision. Like, the Lord is trying to tell you. Like, the first pet that you guys got, you had for 17 hours. The second pet that you guys got, you had for maybe an hour and a half. Thursday, you had for, like a grand total of, like, 40 minutes, probably. Like, the time it took you to get from a shady gas station back to your house, and then for that cat to say, this is my chance, and just, like, attack your wife.
Yeah, yeah. They're really mean to my wife.
Also, like your dog. What was your dog's name? Katie or something?
Katie, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the pound called it. We would have changed his name. We were leaning towards Dobby.
Okay.
Yeah. Maddie's going to hear that and be like, no, we weren't. That was my idea.
That's the great thing about when a mic's in your hand is you can just declare that. That's what we were leaning towards Dobby. But like Dobby / Katie attacked Maddie with her allergenic
chemical attack.
Yeah. Like her
chemical warfare,
her allergenic dander.
Yeah.
And then Turkey physically attacked Maddie with its claws.
Yeah.
And then you decide not to go to the pound and get like a, you know, like a kitten.
We got a feral cat. Yeah.
Yeah. You were like, let's get a feral cat. And once again, this animal attacked Maddie.
It made my wife bleed. I'm not really sad because it made my wife bleed.
Like what's next for you guys? Like a crocodile or something?
It's gotta be something like that. I mean, I'm very pro, like,
you're going to get like a Wolverine or something.
Odd animal type of guy. You know, like I'm the guy who watches monkey and kangaroo videos all the time. I do have a question. In a fight or flight scenario, what are you? What happened? What's your reaction?
I'm probably a fight guy.
I'm a freeze instantly. I lock up.
So like when Thursday viciously attacked your wife, what was your physical response?
Well, my hands were full of cat supplies. Like I was like lumbering with like litter, cat bed, cat food, just like.
And you're just saying, oh gosh, oh gosh.
Well, it dropped, like it, I can picture it so clearly. I had about half a second window.
It was 6 days ago.
I had about a half a second window where I could have laid out for it. And I froze and then I took off. I dropped all my stuff and took off after it and I couldn't catch it.
Wow. When I was doing my student teaching as a senior at Tennessee Technological University, Wings Up Tech, yeah.
Yeah.
I was teaching a class at whatever it is in, what's that school in Baxter?
Baxter Middle School is where you were.
No, this was the high school, Upperman.
Upperman, yeah.
Yeah, I was at Upperman. And I had this student whose parents were exotic pet dealers. And I was like, tell me about that. And he was like, yeah, we have a pet chimpanzee. And I was like, that is a bad idea, man. He was like, oh, that's great. It's really fun. You know, he's really young and, you know, he has his own bedroom. He eats at the table with us, like dinner. I was like he eats dinner with, he has a seat at the table. He's like, yeah, it's not a big deal. You know, wears a diaper.
That's the dream, man.
It's the dream until that animal gets big enough to turn on you and tear your face off your skull.
Never would.
No, they literally, that's what
happened like twice ever.
First of all, that's enough. This is the problem that we're.
Look at them though. They're so cute.
Or that one in like the upper Midwest that like tore that lady's hands off of her arms.
She was probably tickling it or something. Everyone knows you can't tickle a chimpanzee or they'll rip your hands off. It comes in the handbook.
Everyone knows.
When you get your chimpanzee, they give you a handbook and it says, do not tickle on the first page.
Who's they, first of all?
Well, you know, they.
Welcome to Ancient and New.
Oh, boy.
Oh, gosh. This is a podcast where we're going to talk about some scripture and sometimes what we do is Thomas will bring something he's been reading and thinking about and I will as well, and we'll kind of cover those different things. Today we're going to talk about the same piece of scripture, and there's a thought behind it for me. As we record this currently, it's 6:58 a.m. on Wednesday, November 4th. So we are, you know, like everybody in this country is waking up to an undecided presidential election in what has been a tense, angry, and divided country for the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. So divided that we literally don't know, 12 hours after the first polls are closing, we're closing, who the next president's going to be. So I pitched this idea to Thomas, like, hey, let's talk about the Lord's Prayer today. I felt myself when I woke up and just had a, you know, just kind of this magnetic pull towards the news and just to listen round and round as people are saying things, they just kind of keep you on the line, even though they don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I just had a moment where I turned it off and, just kind of making my coffee and just redirected my heart to the Lord. And this was kind of the first thing that I was thinking about. So Luke chapter 11, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" This version of the Lord's Prayer is a little different than kind of the one that everybody prays all the time, that doesn't have the "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." It doesn't have the "Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil." We can talk about all those little wrinkles and stuff too, but I liked this version for a couple of reasons, which we can get into later. But as we kind of just run through that simple thing, like what's the first thing that's kind of jumping out to you or kind of pinging your attention?
I love the Lord's Prayer. I think it's overlooked by most Christians, or it's funny because I think
it hides in plain sight.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Because I think we have our way of praying. You're taught, like, I feel like, you know, every once in a while I hear someone pray and I can say, "Oh, you grew up in a Baptist church for sure." You know, like, just, which is probably a big conclusion for me to jump to, but.
Or there's another thing, which is like, you hear somebody start to pray and I'm like, "Oh, you were part of Young Life."
Yeah, for sure. Like there's all kinds of stuff where you can say, like, you can tell your footprint. But there's a clear place where someone asks Jesus Christ, "How do you pray?" You know,
can
you teach me to pray? Which is funny that they said, just as John taught his disciples, because some of Jesus' disciples left John, you know, and like they're like, "Yeah, like John did," you know. It's that made me laugh a little bit when I read it. But
yeah,
you literally have a blueprint for it. And I don't think we do it enough. Because there's good things in there, you know, like there's a lot of meat in there. Like Jesus literally says, "Give us each day our daily bread. Feed me, Lord."
Right.
Feed me. Like he is saying to God, "Give me food. I need to eat." You know, or he's saying, you know, there's a place in, I guess is it Matthew 6 where he refers to himself as the bread of life? I think that's so cool too. I mean, you could look at that in a couple of ways. Like
John chapter six.
Gosh, this is the second time this week I've misattributed scripture to another place in the Bible.
It's
both times in front of my pastors and I hated it. I felt sick with myself.
Everything's fine.
But you know, you could look at that two ways and say, like, give me what I need to eat, or give me what I need to sustain myself with you for the rest of the day, which I think is so cool. And, you know, then you move on to forgive us our sins. And it's like, I don't think there's anything good about constantly wallowing in your sins, but I don't think it's, if you decide to follow Jesus and then you never again ask him to forgive you of your sins, or like you never again admit that you sin to the Lord, I think you're missing a sweet part of your relationship with him.
Yeah.
You're missing a sweet part because forgiveness is awesome. It feels so good.
Yeah.
When you believe that you're forgiven and, you know, from the Lord, it feels amazing. And it feels amazing too from your friends. So like,
yeah,
if you've gone a long period of time without someone asking someone to forgive you, I think you're missing out because one, you probably need to, you probably messed up against somebody pretty recently, and admitting your weakness and going to them. And then on top of that, them saying, "I still love you. It's okay. I'm done with it." It's like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So anyways, I think there's just, so this is all meat and it's, I think most Christians would say like, I haven't prayed this since my eighth grade football game when the coach made us all do it together. You know, like, I haven't specifically thought about this.
Lord in heaven, hallowed be your name.
There's a show on Netflix.
It's like 80.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 80 guys are all
there's
doing that.
A show on Netflix I watched a few years back. It was Last Chance U. Did you ever watch it?
I didn't watch it.
Well, anyways, it's like a junior
but
college
my barber
program.
Went there to play football.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I watched the first season, and the coach would be so angry, just laying into his guys, laying into, and then he'd go, "Our Father." He'd just say it like that. And then they would all chime in. It was it's amazing. It's amazing. But anyways, those are my knee jerk reactions.
I think there was this interesting, Thomas and I had lunch together yesterday, and we were having this really interesting conversation about my son Jack and just this kind of phenomenon that he's going through right now, which is like, it's something I think that every kid goes through, which is like, you know which parent to ask for certain things that you want because they will give it to you and the other won't. Yeah. And so like, I always have like just a full box of Diet Dr. Peppers in my fridge just because it's the only soda I drink. And yeah. So like, I always have them in there. And so it's the soda my kids like because it's the one they've been exposed to. And so Jack will never ask Christy for a Diet Dr. Pepper. I'm almost never be like, "Mom, can I have a DDP?" But like, he'll slide over to me. He's like, "Hey, can I have a DDP?" Like just like real quietly, even if she's in the room and I'm like, "Yeah, I get one. I don't care." And it's like, you know who to ask. And like Thomas was saying, like, if I wanted to spend the night at one of my friend's house, I would ask my dad.
If I wanted a pair of shoes, ask my mom. Like, you just knew where to go.
Exactly. And so like the thing that I love about the beginning of this is when I was listening to the news this morning and I could feel my tension going up. I could feel fear starting to kind of crop up. I could also feel an exhaustion, just like, oh, like I don't know if I can handle this kind of thing cropping up in me. And there was a moment where I realized I have to turn this off. And where do I want to go? And it was like, "Dad." It's like, "Hey, Dad." You know, it's like Jack comes in the room like, "Hey, Dad, can I go ahead and check out the, you know, can I load up my PlayStation and play a little while?" And I'm always like, "Yeah, go for it." And, you know, and for me this morning, it was like, it's like, "Hey, Dad, I gotta come to you because I'm starting to feel anxious and I'm starting to feel exhausted. And like, I gotta not go over here. I gotta go to you. You're the one I've got to go to." And I love that, you know, that Jesus tells these guys, this is how you should pray. This is not the way, honestly, it's not the way Jesus prayed. Jesus doesn't have to pray for forgiveness.
Right.
He never sinned. Right. Like this is pattern for us, you know? Mm-hmm. But I loved like, there's so many cool things where it's just like, "Hey, like you were saying, I need you to take care of me today. I need you to forgive me today. I need you to, and I need you to protect me from myself a little bit. Like, don't let me fall. Like, don't lead me headlong into stuff I can't overcome, you know, and as far as temptation and stuff like that." Like, but that, I think that was the thing that jumped to me first, just because that was my exact experience this morning, was like, "Hey, Dad, I'm not going to find peace over here. I need it with you. Like, can I have a DDP? Like, can I have some peace? Can I have some energy? Can you do something for me that I know I'm not, it's going to be a no everywhere else I go. So I'm going to need to come to you for the yes."
Yeah. And there's also the bit in there about forgiving everyone else who sins against us. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important, and it's a skill that not many of us are ever taught. Like, if you grew up in either of our generation, which, like, I think we're both millennials, right? Are you still a millennial or are you Gen? No, you're Gen X.
I'm Gen X.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's probably
one of Anna's friends called me a boomer.
Yeah.
And I was like, "You need to chill."
Yeah.
And she was like, "Well, if you're not a boomer, you're definitely a Karen." And I'm like, "Would you just stop?"
Yeah, that's...
Stop.
That's pejorative. But anyways, I think it's probably more of a Gen X thing. I don't know. But my parents were of a different generation. So It's funny, but my I just got a text while I was reading this, and it threw me off for a second. But one thing that I never was taught, and I don't think you were either. You were never, not that you weren't taught this, but you were never shown forgiveness from your parents specifically. You know, like
they would never
apologize for anything.
They were never wrong about anything.
Exactly, and that was the exact language that I heard very often.
Yeah, because I said so.
Yeah, because I said so.
That's how you know it's right, is that it came out of my face.
Exactly. So I love that one's always big for me to reread, because it hasn't been a learned behavior for me. It hasn't been an innate behavior. Is that the right thing I'm looking for? It wasn't innate. Like I didn't just absorb that. And then like by the time I was 18, I had seen it so many times that I was good at it, type of deal. It wasn't like making spaghetti or whatever, you know, like you've done it 45 times with your mother, and now you know how to do it when you leave the house.
In other words, just a normal level of, I sin against you, you sin against me. Mm-hmm. This is going to happen a lot. Let's keep this open in the language, right, and we're going to get good at this piece of this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I had to learn from you actually, which is amazing. But, because I needed it a lot. I needed to be forgiven a lot. I love this. I think it's something that Christians should practice more and spend more time thinking about and doing.
Yeah.
You know,
like when I thought about, the Lord's Prayer this morning, when it says hallowed be your name, it's just the word holy, and the word holy is just a word that means different. And you know, I think about like what our country, and with the eyes of the world on us, what we woke up to today, and it's like, and it was the thing that it just kind of it was like this deal of like kind of like close my eyes and just let it wash over me, that like the Father that I get to address, the one that I get to talk to, the one that I'm coming to with these appeals, that he is so different. He is so different than every loud noise, every hateful, you know, confusing, or, you know, like whatever side people are on, he's different than your side. Uh-huh. You know, he's different than the right. He's different than the left. He's completely and totally. That the wind up to that sneeze was so long. Like you were
always about a 2 second window. You're like, is this actually going to happen or not? And then when it doesn't, it's the massivest letdown of all time. That's my epiphany.
But like, yeah, just the idea of like the Father that I'm coming to, there's nobody like his heart. There's no heart like his. There's no agenda like his. There's no platform like his. I'm coming to something utterly different. Right. You know, we go to that other version of the Lord's Prayer where it's like, your kingdom come. It's like, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like, oh man, how much do I, it's like, how comforting is that right now?
Right.
That like, I am a citizen of an invisible kingdom. Mm. This is not my home. And honestly, like yesterday, just watching Returns come in and listen, it was the thing that I kept doing to center myself, of like, I cannot hope in this. Right. I am part of something else.
Right.
And that reality is going to have to be the strongest. It's funny to me that like I still have to so forcefully do that. Mm-hmm. Like I was thinking about, reading recently in Matthew, Matthew chapter 15 is when Jesus feeds the 4,000. Mm. And there's this moment where he's teaching and there's thousands of people there. And Jesus said, I have compassion on these people, and they've been with us so long, like, oh, we, you know, they're going to get hungry and everything. And the disciples are like, well, where do you expect us to get bread?
Right.
And it's so funny because that's Matthew chapter 15. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, you're like, well, he fed the 5,000,
right,
and you guys, it's not like you got a new crop of disciples since then. And so like, maybe y'all didn't get filled in on the way that this guy can handle things, but like, you were there. Not only that, the feeding of the 5,000 in the book of Matthew takes place in chapter 14. Like if the Gospel of Matthew was a TV show, like you know, like when you start one of these TV shows and they're like, previously on whatever it is, whatever the show is, like when you start chapter 15, if like the voice would say previously in the Gospel of Matthew, and they would show the feeding of the 5,000.
Right.
And then immediately these guys are like, where are we going to get bread?
Yeah.
And Jesus doesn't go off. He doesn't shame them. He just says, how many loaves do you have? Right. And they're like, oh yeah, that's right. Yes. Like last episode. I mean, if you're binging the show, it's like 7 seconds until he's feeding another group of people.
Right.
But in any case, it's like, how often do I forget that this dad that I'm coming to, he's the holy one. He's the one that's unlike anybody else. And I'm a part of something different than this world, different than this hateful world, than this messed up world. And that's where I've got to set my hope. And I so often, so easily forget it. I'm just like the disciples, you know?
Right. I think it's super important for me to, I thought I found this, but, it's super important for me right now, like to think about if there's anyone out there who is applying that first verse of this, the first line of this, Father, hallowed be your name, to anyone else, you're in any way. I'm not like, I don't think it's often that we use the word hallowed, which I was looking up right now, and it's saying to make holy or to consecrate, to sanctify. Like, we don't often use the word hallowed in our language, but there's other, you know, there's other things we do to kind of glorify things in our life and people. And I think if you're out there and you're doing that in any other place, you're missing out, because it doesn't say like fill in the blank with name here. It says our God, you know, like that is who you are talking to when you're praying. That is who your focus is on. That is what our goal should be in life, is to have our eyes set on him. Like it says in Colossians 3, you know, set your minds on things above. And I think if
nailed it,
yeah,
but no,
you got that one right. I think if your hope is in anywhere else right now, you're missing out, which I think is, you know, in this time in America, it's easy. And there's so many people, and there's so many Christians and so many non-Christians whose hope is in all kinds of places.
Oh,
and it's like,
all kinds.
Hey guys, we need to reset. And I think it's a good call that you pointed us here, because this feels like, hey, do you need a reset real quick?
Yeah.
You need to go back to the baseline. Do you need to go back to where, like, you know, these guys are literally saying, how do we pray? Okay. It's funny that this is it feels like a starting block for that. Like it feels like, hey, here's the foundational way to pray, but there's so much in it, and there's so much depth, and there's so many good things in 4 or 5 lines. You know, it's amazing.
You just did something really cool that made me think of, like, you use the word reset, you know, because we do have, people are setting their hopes on so many other things, and they do attribute amazingness and holiness and, you know, and other worldly, you know, status to so many other things. I mean, it's, how often do we see it? Every single August, people are like, this is it. Feels like 98, you know? And then as soon as,
yeah, I'll do that until,
yeah. And then as soon as Tennessee has an, you know, it's like Tennessee has an embarrassing loss, and everybody's like,
next year,
I'm not gonna care about this anymore, you know? And then next year they're like, I'm ready to get hurt again.
Yeah,
it's
for
like,
sure.
In other words, like, I'm setting my hopes on this. This is where my emotions are going to go up or down this year. And it is a game.
Yeah.
It's just a game that we play. Yeah. So funny. Like in our house, whenever we play a board game, I have to have a conversation with one of my kids where I'm like, okay, let's do the speech. And they're like, I don't want to do the speech. And I'm like, do it. And the speech is, they have to go into the bathroom, look into the mirror, and say to themselves, this is a game. My goal is not to win. My goal is to have fun with the people that I'm playing this game with. Otherwise, it's going to be, yeah, it's going to be awful. Yeah, it's going to ruin everybody's night. But I like that you said reset, because the thing that, one of the things that I noticed that I don't think I remembered before checking out Luke 11 again this morning to read this was that this comes on the heels of Jesus praying. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, can you show me how to do that? Like what? Like, I'm just trying to imagine, like, okay, when Jesus was done praying, one, what was it? Was it the prayer? Was it like, but he like showed back up into the camp. Like they're all sitting around the campfire in the morning about to make breakfast. And like, they know he's off praying and he comes back and just the joy in his face and the peace in his face. And the, like, what was it? What was it that one of his guys was like, dude, what? I need that right there. Like whatever you're carrying into this campsite, like I want a piece of that. So like, can you teach me how to do that? Because like you're saying, like maybe it was one of the guys that followed John the Baptist. They're like, cause John showed him, but John never looked like you did. John was honestly pretty grumpy most of the time. And like, you look amazing right now. I want a piece
dirty
of that.
Dirty and stinky. And
yeah. And he ate bugs.
Probably a little malnourished. If we're being honest, yeah.
it's like I'm thinking about that.
Probably had a lot of bee stings. He ate a lot of honey, right? It's like, remember, how do you get to that stuff without getting stung by bees, brother?
When Bubba in Forrest Gump is just like talking about all the ways you can eat shrimp.
Yeah,
and it's like that's John the Baptist with locusts. Just like,
how's no one ever thought of that? That's amazing.
Just like, then it's like these conversations just going on and on and on, and just all the different ways and that John the Baptist. Like,
yeah, that's about it.
That's about it. Yeah. Names like 40 different ways.
Yeah, that's about it. That's amazing. I've never ever thought of that.
But like, yeah, it's just like, was it the deal that like this person walks into your day and you're like, I've never seen anybody like you. Can you teach me how to do that? And I feel like with the Lord's Prayer, what we're looking at is exactly what you said. This is a reset. If I do not have the kind of heart that I enjoy living in right now, I need a reset.
Right.
And this could be it.
I like that. This is a good idea.
Oh, I thought of one other thing, which is whenever the coronavirus first started and like lockdowns first started and people stopped going to church, one of the first things that we ever filmed here, as far as like a message that Tom gave for the beginning of the coronavirus, he did about washing your hands. And he was talking about how the CDC was saying you need to wash your hands for 20 seconds. And Tom was given this great message, and he was like, I mean, I always wash my hands. I don't know that I always wash my hands for 20 seconds. And they were saying like, here are some things you can do while you're washing your hands to make sure it's 20 seconds. You can say this in your mind or whatever. And that takes about 20 seconds to say. And Tom realized the Lord's Prayer takes about 20 seconds to say. And I used to do this thing because there was a report that came out that like, if you flick water off your hands when you're done washing your hands 12 times, then you'll use like 2/3 less paper towels.
Yeah.
I would do the
tribes of Israel.
I would do the 12 tribes of Israel.
Sure, yeah. Yeah.
The 12 tribes of Israel and Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, you know, and then in the afternoons, I would do the 12 disciples. But Tom was saying it takes about 20 seconds to say the Lord's Prayer. So when you're washing your hands, just say it. And like, I'd never thought of that before. And like, when I started doing that, washing my hands during the coronavirus, it was a sweet thing, because I'm just like, every time you wash your hands, turn my heart back here again. I need you. I need you to not lead me into temptation. I need you to be different than everybody else. I just need you.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that.
When are you guys going to pick up your chimpanzee? Are you just going to go straight to like baboon?
Rafiki.
Correction. I know your father.
That's right. Oh, man.
What would you guys name a chimpanzee?
It had to be Rafiki or something. I guess you said chimpanzee, not baboon. I don't know.
I could see you guys getting a bonobo.
Oof. I don't even know what a bonobo is, really.
Something that would attack your wife. Let's be honest. At this point, any animal that you bring into that house is going to attack Maddie.
Yeah. I know.
And the time is going to continue to descend. So it's like...
The next one. The fish is just going to jump out of the bowl and hit her in the eye.
Grow teeth and just folks, thanks for listening. And a special shout out and thanks to Corey McBee for sending Thomas a video of somebody playing taps, because Thomas tapped out of the 1 year Bible.
I know, it was a no context taps, and then about 30 minutes later it was really funny. I was like, what is this?
So funny. The Red Samurai totally calls you out with taps. Yeah. Thanks folks, we love you. I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
You're seeking sacrifice or for me to act like everything's alright. You are looking for a lie where I pretend that there are no tears in my eyes. So I will cast my cares on you, because you care for me. And I will worship you in truth. That means I'll come before you just as me. Discover once again your love is real.